It's a book telling us about a real world we are to enter into. He says, come on, this is rest. It's there. You will know you've entered into it as surely as if you fell in a swimming pool. You are to enter into rest, so you are to pray and enter in. When a believer discovers this realm, he at first will enter in and will be overawed by this realm. And then he will have to return again and again until he is persuaded that what he is seeing is permanent. In other words, you enter into rest and sometimes things take you out of rest. So you need to go back to rest. And then things happen again that take you out of rest. But as you slowly come to the full awareness that what you are seeing has not changed, it's you that's changed, you suddenly realize you can draw from that rest 24/7. You can live in that realm of rest at all times. Now, as a young believer, you may find you're struggling to get in and stay in and so on. There may be all kinds of pressures, but as you begin to make it the habit of your life to discover the presence of God, and remember, as we move on, looking into Hebrews further and further on in later chapters, the key to Hebrews is finding this presence of God that imparts to you holiness and imparts to you all the wonderful things of that presence. Now, he's going to talk in chapter 5 and 6 about the priesthood. But let's move now to chapter 6 because we're going to look at this word, go on. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us, and here's the word, go on. And if you remember, I said there are these three exhortations, go on, go in, and go through. We're not going to go through them all tonight. But we're on, go on here in this verse 1 of chapter 6. Go on to perfection. Now, at this point, notice that the emphasis is on going on in holiness, perfection. Now, you said, do you mean I've got to be perfect? Well, you know, at some point, you have to ask yourself, what are you really expecting Christ to do for you? Most of you sitting here will want perfection, won't you? For example, if I said I'm a good mechanic, I can repair your car. I remember once repairing a car and I took the battery out and charged it and put it back the wrong way. I put the terminals back the other way. Now, does anybody know what happens if you do that? Anybody know? Nobody here knows. Well, I know because I'm an expert mechanic. When you put the battery back the wrong way, all the wires in the engine burn. It's a beautiful sight. Smells lovely. And the engine burn. I did that. Somebody once said to me, could you fit this radio cassette player in my Mercedes? I said, no problem. Give it to me. And again, I connected the terminals the wrong way. I knew it was wrong when smoke started coming out of the cassette player. And my third triumph in the realm of motor mechanics was when I connected an alternator, a generator, the wrong way around. And again, I noticed that was wrong because smoke started pouring out. So if you have a problem with your car, just call me. Now, you will say, no, I don't want to call you. I want a good mechanic, somebody who knows what he's doing. Well, obviously, you want somebody who knows. I know that I was explaining this once, that I'm very good at electrical things. If you want me to do your plug for you, I know that brown goes to the right and blue goes to the left. And I did it just as I've done in front of you. I got my hands mixed up. I got the words right, but I put brown to the right and blue to the left, which if you didn't notice was the wrong way around. Maybe you thought I was... Anyway, so if you want any work doing on your electrics, just call me. Now, you want perfection, don't you? You don't want someone to come and have a go. You want someone to come and do a good job. No, we're talking about cars and houses. What about an operation on your brain? I can do that too if you want. I can take an appendix out. I'll have a go. I'll do anything. I might charge half the price of the other guy. But the point is, you see, I'll even have a go at your teeth if you want. You say, no, 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 I want the best. Why? You want a perfect job. Somebody paints your house or repairs your house or your car. You want somebody who will do it right. Now, when it comes to spiritual things, a lot of us seem to think, well, I'll have a shoddy job. I'll just accept to live with sin the rest of my life. So here, when he says, let's go on to perfection, he's saying, what is your goal? Do you somehow think that spiritual things are just going to be shoddy, weak? He's saying, come on, we've got to go on. And one of the messages of Hebrews is you've got to go on. Because if you don't go on, you'll actually find yourself drifting back. That's one of the messages of Hebrews. Now, in chapter 6, he said, let's go on. And he actually gives a very solemn warning, one of many warnings. Hebrews is full of warnings that we must not lose our salvation. You think, well, wait a minute, are we all, if we're once saved, are we always saved? It's a nice thought, but it isn't found in the Bible. The assurance of salvation is that Christ will never let me go if I keep on trusting him. He's strong enough to keep me from all my enemies. All I've got to do is keep trusting in Christ. The word for belief in the New Testament is most often a continuous verb. So, for example, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever goes on believing in Jesus shall not perish but have everlasting life. Not believes at some point once and then forgets about it, but goes on believing in Jesus. The point is here again, the word going on. The picture in Hebrews and the whole point of the new covenant, is it a blessing I just come to and that's it? Well, wow, I've got that. I've got my tongues. I've got my baptism. I've got my salvation. I've got my baptism in water. I'm set. I'm ready now. No. The message of Hebrews is, look, this is a journey. This whole realm you're being brought to is not a kind of a static ornamental state, like an ornamental fountain. This is a living journey. In fact, God lives in a tent. By faith, Abraham dwelt in a tent. He didn't live in a condo. Now, I live in a condo, so don't get condemned if you live in a condo. But the point is, the thing is, what he's saying is that God is a journeying God. God isn't putting down permanent roots. He's moving. He's saying, this will do for tonight, but tomorrow we move on. We're moving on. What you're living today is okay. I'm not condemning you, says Jesus, but come on, let's move on. There's another stage, another step. Don't settle down or you'll go back. The spiritual whole power of this covenant is it's a journey. When they took the Passover, if you remember when we studied the Passover together, when they took the Passover, they were to walk through the gate of blood. You remember that? Everybody remembers that. They were to eat the roast lamb. Everybody remembers that. Some people remember bitter herbs. Some people remember all kinds of things. But do they remember that when they took it, they were to be dressed and have their suitcases packed ready at the door? Why? Well, what's the point of being set free from Egypt if you don't get out of Egypt?